Willie Oosthuizen, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Breakfast with Refilo. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Okay, so we are under lockdown. People are still wanting to go for walks on their own, and some parents are just wanting to get away from it all. what do we do for, and this is a question that comes up quite regularly, actually, is people who are like, look, I've got co-custody with my partner. When am I supposed to move them, and when am I allowed to move them? Is this seen as an essential service, quote unquote? How do we approach this legally?
Okay, well, legally, I suppose that people might be asking why I'm answering this question, considering that I'm labor and social media law, but I'm also someone sharing co-custody with somebody.
Fair enough.
So I have looked very, very carefully at these regulations and have been doing so for a while now. And the answer is simple. The kids, where they are and where they were at the time that the lockdown started, is where they stay. So
really?
It means it's where they stay. They will not be moved. They cannot be moved unless there's a medical emergency and they have to leave the house for that medical emergency. They are not to be moved. So if it means that you are, they were not with the primary parent, or they were, you know, for whatever
on visitation, reason, let's say. Yes.
If they were on visitation, they will stay with that parent.
Oh, my.
Obviously, because the lockdown was announced 2 days before, I suppose it was expected that if there was a primary parent situation, the child would be moved to the primary parent prior to the lockdown starting.
Right.
But obviously, it becomes complicated when you are when you have co-custody, as in 50-50 custody.
Correct.
Which is what I have. And unfortunately, there has to be a call made which residence was in the best interest of the children.
Mm.
And where they
and how
are
does that get decided?
Well, that's going to be a value judgment by the parents, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it's very, very difficult. It is very difficult because obviously in these situations, emotions run incredibly high. But what we have to remember is that in terms of our constitution, the best interests of the children are paramount, and that is a right that is held out even if there's a state of emergency. We're in a state of disaster,
right,
which is a slightly less than a state of emergency, but in a state of emergency, you know, children's rights are still paramount. And the thing is that the children's best interests are to be safe. The children's best interests are to not contract the COVID virus.
Right.
So they cannot
pass it on. Out of interest, I mean, how do you manage this?
Well, unfortunately, it means I have to deal with Skype, and I have to and I have to look at FaceTime and all of those things. And I had to swallow hard, and I had to say, well, this is going to be made up later because where they are now with their dad, it's in their best interest to be there. They've got more space to move. They've got a large swimming pool that they can swim in. They can stay in their place of residence. They cannot go absolutely crazy sitting inside a house where there is no pool. And it sounds very, very privileged and all of that kind of thing, and I get that. But that's the place that they need to be at
quite
the moment. And that's life, unfortunately.
Yo, as a child of divorce, I would freak out if I was in the wrong house. My PlayStation's the other side.
But the point is, and this is something that I keep on thinking to myself over and over again, this is not the first time the children have been separated from their parents because of some kind of a state of an emergency. And I'm not talking about South Africa. There was a film that I used to watch when I was much younger. I think it was called Hope and Glory.
Yes.
Where kids were sent away from London during the Blitz.
Right.
To spend time with their grandparents in the country or whatever so that they were not in danger. And they were sent to Australia. They were sent all over the place to get away from a place of danger. And so this is not something new. And they did not have FaceTime. They did not have Skype. They did not have...
Right. So even if this goes longer than 21 days, it's not the worst thing.
And what has happened is that the Minister of Social Development has said very specifically in her news briefing that if this goes on for longer than 21 days, the regulations will be revisited relating to this issue.
Okay.
They are going to be issuing directives, I think it is, and I'm watching very closely, obviously.
Yes.
But that's the way it's got to be. You are not allowed to move your children, and you are not allowed to pick them up from the chemist and take them to the other house. You are not allowed to go to the... I don't actually even think that children are supposed to be going to the shop.
No, they can't do essential services
I suppose, you know, if you're single parenting and there isn't anybody else to look after the children, I don't know how else you'll get food. I'm not sure. But yeah, those are the considerations that we have to look into.
Such critical information. Thank you so much, really, Oosthuizen, for giving us that not only professional but personal perspective on how to respond to co-parenting, during the lockdown. And hopefully you and your kids are going to be reunited as soon as possible.
Thank you so much.
All right, then. Okay, really, Oosthuizen, their partner at Shepston and Wiley Attorneys, giving us some perspective. So that's the bottom line. You may not move the kids between parents. Wherever they were when the lockdown started is it.